All right, I'm sure more people come as they go through the line, but once again, welcome to Hebrew Club. Very happy to have everybody here today on a rainy Thursday, right, after the symposium. We are on 2 Samuel chapter 3, and we're about ready to start verse 32. Remember, Abner was dead for of non-natural causes, so to speak, and so what we're going to look at now is the burial of Abner and the what happened subsequently to that. All right, so we're going to start with chapter 3, once again, verse 32, where it says, Vayikberu, right there, Vayikberu et Avner beChevron, Vayisahamelech et Kolo Vayevk el Kever Avner Vayivku Kol Ha'am. And they buried Abner. That's from Kavar, the Vav consecutive imperfect, very clear. And they buried Abner in Hebron, in Hebron. Right? And he lifted up. What's the root of Vayisa? Nasa. Very good. And the king lifted up his voice. And here it is, Hebrew 1 students. You guys all know the root. And he wept. What's the root? Don't let me down. Baka. Yeah. It's to weep, and notice it's a vav consecutive imperfect call, but the form is not what you learn in your textbook as we went through. There's the seirei under the yud. The seirei under the yud looks very odd, but that's this form. You see this over and over with the root baka, with the and you know a number of other words have the same form to it. So, and he wept el kever. Notice where el and al are used interchangeably, and here it would seem to us from learning our Hebrew that it should be all here. He wept over the grave of Abner, but notice it uses El quite naturally, and I think in English style we would still say, and he wept over or upon the Kever Abner, the grave of Abner. And they wept, Vayivku, again from Baka, and all the people wept. Again, a call, Bav consecutive imperfect from Baka. All right? Any questions about verse 32? All right. Verse 33. We get a little poem here. Vayekonein hamelech el Avner vayomar ha kemot navayamut Avner. Okay, now, and he lamented. This is a polel, vav consecutive, third masculine singular from Canaan. All right, to lament, all right, and the king lamented, again, El, notice, but your manuscripts, there's a number of manuscripts that have all instead, just like in the previous use of El, a lot of manuscripts and versions seem to have all behind it, so there is kind of a textual variant here. So the king lamented over Abner, Vayomar, and he said, okay, ha kemot naval. Naval is the word for foolish, but here it's used as substantive, a fool. Mot is in the construct from mavet, which means death. The ke is the preposition ke, and the he with the patach under it is an interrogative he. So, as the death of a fool, will Abner die? See, notice Yamut is a call, imperfect, third masculine singular from Mut, to die. So, will Abner die like a fool dies, really? Like the death of a fool, will Abner die? All right, and notice or maybe you want to put it like in English, should Abner die like the death of a fool? So that's kind of what happened. See, he was lured in, he was deceived, and then he was stabbed. See? Okay? Any questions about verse 33? About any of the forms? All right. Verse 34. Va-yadeka lo asurot ve-ragleka lo lin-chutataim hugashu kinfol lifne b'nei avla Na fala. Okay, your hand not was bound. See that asu wrote? That's a call passive participle from asar, to bind. Notice you have it's, but notice it's feminine plural. And it goes with yadeka, which in the Masoretic text, notice the consonants are singular, your hand. So there's an incongruity of number. Your hand was not bound. See, notice the singular with the plural. But notice a number of manuscripts want to give you the plural of hands so that you don't have that ambiguity. So I think most of your translations will actually go with the singular. Your hands were not bound. But notice in the Hebrew Masoretic text, there's an incongruity of number. So your hand was not bound, ve'ragleka. And as for your feet, ragleka, see, as for your feet, not to, and now this word, chushtayim, what kind of plural is this? The tayim, it's dual. And it's, the word nechoshet is bronze, but here it means fetters. And not to fetters, now here's a really huge word, not to fetters were your feet brought near. Okay, this hugashu, everybody see what the root is? You can guess. What's the root? Nagash. See, you have the dagesh preceded by a short vowel. And this is one of those hafal forms. Nagash means to bring near. So in the hifil, to be brought near in the hafal. So this is a rare term. You don't see very many hafals, right? And notice it's your feet is the subject. And your feet were not brought near to fetters. In other words, no one bound you, captured you, and brought you in and then killed you. All right, you were a free man when you were killed. All right, now kinfol lifne b'nei avla nafala. As the falling, that nafol is a call infinitive construct. As the falling before a b'nei avla. Okay, before, now notice avla means perversity, so this is literally sons of perversity. As the falling before, and we would probably say, notice the B'nai is using this idiomatic phrase to indicate a class of people. As the falling before perverse people, or evil people, really. Nafalta, you fell. Call, perfect second masculine singular. Notice it's in pause, so the patach lengthens to a kamatz, as you would expect. As the falling before perverse people, you have fallen. All right, so that's his little lament that he's sung. All right, any questions about verse 34? Yes, Jim.
The very first phrase there with the hands not being bound, the kumas yeah. Had a variant. Can you explain that?
Yeah. Okay, it has a different word for to be bound. And so what has, let's see, it has your hands not were bound, it has that word. And then it has bizekim in chains.
Okay.
All right, so that's what. So Qumran seems to have an addition there. All right, it's kind of interesting. I'd like to see the full thing of that. All right, good. Any other questions? All right, verse 35, or the end of verse 34. Okay, va yosifu kol ha'am libekot alav. Okay, va yosifu. Here's that famous vav consecutive. You know it's a vav consecutive because of the patach under the vav with the dagesh and the yud. This is that famous hifil form of yasaf. Hifil form of yasaf. Masculine plural, vav consecutive, and it means to add. And remember the idiom, when you have this word, what are you looking for? What's the next kind of word you're looking for when you see and he and they added? You're looking for an infinitive construct. And there it is in the livkot. And the subject is kol ha'am. So all the people added to weep over him. Notice the bekot is a call infinitive construct from baka. Again, so we've had baka three times here, three different forms. Ain't that nice? So all the people added to weep over him, which we would say, all the people continued to weep over him. See, that's how that idiom is. When you have yasaf plus the infinitive construct, the infinitive becomes the finite verb in English translation. All the people wept continually or kept weeping Al-Av over him. Okay? All right, questions about that little phrase there? Again, you'll see that over and over again. Now, verse 35. Vayavo kol ha'am lehavrot et David lechem be'od hayom. Let's stop there. And all the people came or entered. Vayavo. Notice that that's a call in imperfect, vav consecutive from bo. All the people came lehavrot. This is a hifil infinitive construct from this rare word bara, bait, resh, hay, and it's only used a few times, and it means to eat in the call. So what do you think the hifil means? If the call is to eat, what's the hifil? To make to eat, or to, right. So all the people entered to make et David, notice how David is the direct object, to make David eat lechem, eat some food. Be'od, notice that that translates while or still, in while yet it was hayom, the day. All right, in other words, David had been fasting. So, all, and I think here am doesn't mean people in general, but the troops. Remember, am means the army of David and Saul throughout the book of Samuel. We saw this in 1 Samuel. So I think it's all the army came to make David eat bread while yet the day, while it was still day. Okay? Vayishava David lemor. But David swore, saying, notice you have Vayishava. It's a nifal, infinitive construct, third masculine from shava. It doesn't occur in the call. David swore, lemor, saying, Ko ya'aseh li Elohim. Thus may God do, ya'aseh, to me. Thus may God do to me. V'ko yosif, and thus may he add. Here again is that hifil of yasaf. And thus may he continue to do or add. Ki'im, certainly if. Notice the ki is probably a strong, this is a strong oath. Ki'im. If before the coming of the sun, okay, so notice here you have an infinitive construct, bo. If the if before the entering of the sun, okay, et am lechem o kol me'uma. If before the entering of the sun, I taste, from ta'am, call, imperfect, first common, singular, if I taste bread or kol, any me'uma, anything else. Okay, so let me translate from there again, saying, thus may God do to me. And thus may he continue to do, certainly, or indeed, if before the entering of the sun, or we would probably say before the setting of the sun, I taste bread or anything else. What's interesting here is when you see that word lifne, you normally think of spatial. I'm standing before the king. But notice here it's temporal. It's a temporal use, and I think that's a less common use. I didn't have a chance to check and see how common that is, but we don't run across it that much. Lifne as temporal.
It's very interesting that they would have the same thing as we have in English.
Yeah.
Before and before mean totally
yeah.
Two different things.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, very good. Right. So the same kind of usage. Very, yes. Yes, please, Jim.
With Shemesh, when Shemesh bows, is that always going to be the setting of the sun? Could that be?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think there's probably a different word for the bow is usually thought of as the sun going down, and the other one it would be zarach to rise, or maybe kum to rise. I would say generally, but I haven't looked at every phrase. So I think that's right. So I think this is kind of standard here. So he's not going to eat, notice that the context helps me a little, because the previous line said David was not eating bread while it was still hayom, while still the day. So I think that's what it's talking about, until the sun goes down or sets. And, you know, they probably look at it as, you know, it enters the backside or the horizon. He's not going to eat anything. Okay?
Yes? What does he mean by the Lord do to me?
Okay. Yeah, notice that when this is a standard oath formula. Ko ya'aseh, thus may he do and thus may he add to do. And a lot of people think it was accompanied by some kind of a gesture, like the cutting of your throat or something like that, or that David would say something that the narrator here has just kind of left out, and it's just like sometimes we say, and he said so-and-so, or he said thus and thus. So it's kind of like the narrator doesn't really tell us all that David said. So some suggest that the narrator is just kind of shorthanding what David said. Others suggest that David's oath was accompanied by some gesture. And we don't know, but it's kind of a standard formula. So we don't really know what David was saying or doing or meant by, yeah, thus may he do to me. Right.
But from the context, you can tell it's some sort of negative thing.
Right, right, right. So we would say, may Yahweh kill me if I eat anything or something like that. And we know David can get pretty bad with his curses, because remember what he just cursed for Joab a few verses last week? That was not pretty. So maybe we don't want to know. He wasn't going to eat anything, let's put it that way. All right, good. Verse 36. This is very interesting. Here you can see the politics involved. The politics comes to the surface in this verse. Vekol ha'am hikiru vayita be'enehem kekol asher asah hamelech be'ene kol ha'am tov. And all, now I'm going to, I think it's really strong here that we see the troops, because this is who he had to get over to his side. So, and all the troops, ha'am, all the army, hikiru, what's the root? Nakar, very good. Hifil, perfect, okay? And all the troops, and notice you have collective am, plural verb. Collective am, plural verb. You'll see a variation in singular and plurals around collectives all over the place. And with am, it varies between the book, within a book. More commonly in later Hebrew, it's collectives seem to be rendered with plurals, but that's not overwhelming by any means. So here we have it in what would be called an earlier piece of Hebrew writing. So, and all the people observed. And I would say, again, all the army observed. Vayitav, call imperfect from yatav, and it was good in their eyes, be'enehem. And it was good in their eyes, see? Now you'll see what comes next. Kekol, according to all, just or like everything which Asa HaMelech, like everything which the king did, be'enei kol, in the eyes of all the army, was good. So this was good, again, like everything which the king did in the eyes of all the army was good. All right, now here's the key line coming up. Verse 37. Vayeda'u kol ha'am v'kol Yisrael bayom hahu ki lo hayita me ha'melech lehamit et Avner ben Ner. Okay. And they knew. And see, notice, all the army knew. Vayeda'u. Now notice, and all Yisrael. Who's he referring to when he means Israel? Notice the northern tribes mostly. Because remember what happened? It was Abner who was going to bring the north in. So all the army knew, and all Israel, Bayom Hahu, on that day. And notice here you have an object clause following a verb of a perception. Knew what? Knew that, not that it was not from Meha Melech, from the king. That not was from the king, or that it was not from the king, Lehamit, to kill. Notice that this is a Hifil infinitive construct. To kill Abner, son of Ner. So again, all the people and all Israel realized on that day or at that time that it was not from the king to kill Abner, son of Ner. See the politics kind of implied or coming below the surface? So David's lamenting was very important, not only theologically, but politically. All right, and of course, in the Old Testament, theology and politics are thoroughly together anyway, but I just want to show you that David wasn't stupid. He knew that he had to really show Israel that this was not a plot on his part. Otherwise, the chance for the United Kingdom would be destroyed. There, the war, and remember, the war had been going on for a long time. Chapter 3, the beginning of chapter 3, it said the war was long between the house of Saul and the house of David. So you can imagine that the land was getting tired of the whole thing. So this was really important, an important point in Israel's history. Questions through verse 37. All right, verse 38. Vayomer Hamelech el Avadav, Halo Tedeu ki Sar Vegadol Nafa Hayom Hazeh BeYisrael. And the king said, Vayomer Hamelech, and the king said to Avadav, his servants, Halo Tedeu, do you not know that a prince, a Sar, and a Gadol, and a great man, Nafal, has fallen Hayom Hazeh, this day, BeYisrael, in Israel. Okay, verse 39. Vanoki hayom rak u'mashuach melech. Okay, and I hayom today am rak. Notice where you have to supply the helping verb. And I today rak. I today am rak. I am tender. I am sensitive. I am, I don't know if weak is the right word, but let's play with that for a little bit. That's what it means. Rakak means to be tender, to be weak, okay? So, I today am weak. Now, u'mashuach. Notice that the root is mashach, to anoint. This is a call passive participle. So, notice, put that together with king and anointed as king. So, notice, I today am weak and anointed as king. So notice it's incongruous. So something like, I today am weak, although anointed as king. Now that's, you'll see why I'm translating it that way in the next phrase here. Veha anashim ha'ela. But these men, see, notice men, the these, but these men, the b'nei Zeruiah, the children of Zeruiah, remember who's that? That's Joab and his brother. Remember who had killed Abner for killing their little brother. All right. So, but these men, the sons of Zeruah, are kashim. Kashim means hard, but we would probably say are cruel. Cruel. Let's just stick with cruel. Are cruel mimeni, from me. So notice the min functions here as a comparative. See? So it's something like, but these men, the sons of Zeruai, are too cruel for me, or are crueler than me, all right, or wilder than me, or something like that. Yeshalem Yahweh le'ose ha ra'ah kera'ato. Yeshalem, notice it's a PL form from shalom. It means to pay back. So may Yahweh pay to the doer of the evil. Notice that that's a participle in construct, right? So may Yahweh pay back to the one who does the evil, kerato, according to his evil. So once again, he kind of reflects on the cruelty of Joab and his brother for what they did. So they really come out, you know, notice that the narrator is very careful to paint a certain picture of them. Notice how David is set in contrast to them, and how all the people look on David. And we have been seeing this through 1 Samuel, right? David, the people praise him. He always does well. So David's star keeps ascending while Saul and his families keep descending. And now even set in contrast to Joab, who still remains his close aide through the book, as we'll see. Okay, so it's a very interesting incident here. All right? Questions through chapter 3 then. All right, very good. We'll stop here then, and thank you guys, and we'll continue on the saga of David and the uniting of the two kingdoms.